So we are coming out of a series about experiencing God. Good morning. Welcome home. It's good to see you all this morning. We have spent the past few weeks talking about experiencing God. And God has been using that experience to help us understand our mission. Our mission is to love God, love others, and help people follow Jesus. Along the way, God has been teaching us that He is already at work. He's at work in our lives. He's at work in our struggles. He's at work in our community. He has been pursuing a love relationship with us, and He has invited us to join Him in what He's doing. Our response to Him was, "Yes, Lord. Yes to your invitation. Yes to your call. And by the way, God, what is it that you're doing?" Last week, God spoke to us from Luke chapter 15, and He said, "I am on a rescue mission. Join me on this rescue mission. I'm finding the lost sheep, and I'm bringing them home. Join me to find your lost sheep." He says to us, "The sheep are lost. Go to them again. Pray for them again. Find them again. Reach them again. Teach them again. Find the lost sheep and join the rescue mission." Now this week we turn to a familiar passage, possibly the most well-known and well-loved psalm, to continue to learn about our shepherd and what He is doing. If you will stand with me as we read together Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Lord, we are thankful for Your word to us. We ask that You speak to us Your message and not my message. Use me, Lord, and speak to Your people today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 23 is beautiful. And it's the description of a good shepherd caring for a sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. It's all about Jesus. He describes Himself as the good shepherd in John 10. The author of Hebrews calls Jesus the great shepherd. Peter calls Him both the chief shepherd and the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Jesus is the shepherd of Psalm 23. And from Psalm 23, we learn what He is doing as the shepherd. And it starts by saying, David writing from our perspective, "I shall not want." We'll never need anything that He, Jesus, doesn't offer. This world can't satisfy, but Jesus does. When I'm thirsty, it's Jesus that quenches the thirst of my soul. When I'm longing for more than this world can offer, it's Jesus that fulfills us and makes us whole. I shall not want. He will make us lie down. Has He ever made you lie down before? Here's how dumb I am. Sometimes He has a make me lie down. He wants you to have rest, and He will bring you to a rest. He makes me lie down. And not just lie down, but He makes me lie down in green pastures. He doesn't just make me rest. He gives me rest in a good place. He gives you rest in a lush place of life and health. He gives you rest in a land flowing with milk and honey. Did you realize the milk and honey are items that you can enjoy that are produced by something else? You can just take them and enjoy them without having to make them yourself. Just find your rest in Jesus and relax because He leads you beside the still waters. This is the flowing river of life. the refreshing flow of the Holy Spirit. He renews you and brings life. The shepherd leads us to a place where we can drink deeply and be refreshed. In Norse mythology, there was a story where the giants bet that Thor can't drink more than they can. But Thor's tricked. They give him a cup that is magically connected to the ocean. And the more he drinks, the more there is to drink. And that's what it's like for the Christian. Do you need to be refreshed? Take a deep drink. Do you need more? Keep coming back. Are you thirsty again? Come back again. Keep coming back. Keep drinking deep. Keep being restored. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest. Take another drink. Be refreshed again. The good shepherd leads you beside the still waters, and he restores my soul. Take a deep breath. Let the peace settle in for a moment. It's Jesus that restores your soul. I'm struggling. I'm failing. I'm discouraged. I'm drowning. Stop. He restores your soul. I can't pick myself up. I can't clean myself off. I can't make this right. I can't make this work. Stop. He restores your soul. Would you like to be led by a shepherd like that? He leads me. I'm wondering, and I don't even know where to turn. I want to do what's right, but I don't know what to do. I'm trying to follow Jesus, but I can't figure it out. He leads you. Let him lead. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He keeps me on his path. He stops me from wandering. Wait. You're telling me that I can stop getting lost if I follow the shepherd? I can stop wandering through this life? I can stop falling into sin again and again? I can stop feeling like a failure? Jesus leads you on the righteous path. And he does it for his name's sake. When they see the change in you, it will bring him glory. When they hear what he did for you, they will turn to him. When you realize how far he's brought you, you'll shout louder. When you remember what he brought you through, you'll dance again. When you experience him, you'll live for him. Jesus is offering all that. Jesus is offering provision and protection and restoration and renewal and righteousness. Jesus, the good shepherd, offers it all. But so many say, nah, no thanks. No thanks, Jesus. I'll just leave myself. No thanks. I'm following someone else. Let's see how that works out. You can have all that Jesus offers, but you have to choose to let him lead. You have to choose to surrender. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Some of you have walked through literal valleys of death recently. Death of loved ones, the fear of death because of sickness, and some of you are walking through valleys of death in a different way. Maybe your valley of death is the death of a career. Maybe you've been passed over for promotion. Maybe it's the death of a relationship or a business deal, the death of a dream. Maybe you've lost your spouse. Maybe your child is far away from you. Maybe you've lost a friend. Maybe your dreams have failed and your heart is broken. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm in that valley and it's dangerous here. I'm struggling here. I'm suffering here. I'm discouraged. I'm afraid. But wait. I don't have to be afraid in this valley because you are with me. Even though I'm walking through this dangerous season, I will not be afraid because he's with me. Not just God will help you. Isn't that polite and cute how we pray for God to help you? No, it's more than that. God is there with you. In the middle of that valley, stop praying, oh God, help me. And start praying, God, I thank you that you are with me. Now what are we going to do? You don't plead to a distant God who has no concern for you. You speak to a loving Father that is in the valley with you. And when he's in the valley, I'm not afraid. Because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Now his staff is used to guide you. It's One of those staffs with the hook on the end. It can either nudge you back onto the path, or he can even hook you around the neck and bring you home if he needs you, as Jesus ever had to hook you around the neck and bring you back. That staff keeps me with him. And the rod he has, he uses to beat away the enemy. God doesn't use the rod to abuse his children. He uses the rod to beat the tar out of the enemy. That's how we say it in Georgia, beat the tar out of somebody. This is not a meek and mild Jesus. Look at his flowing hair and that cute lamb over his shoulders. He has a perfect smile and he's always doing prayer hands. This is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This is the victorious one. Death and hell and the grave could not hold him down, and he has the power to put the enemy in his place. His rod and his staff comfort me. It's a little bit funny that he calls himself the shepherd and us the sheep. Do you realize it's not actually a compliment to be called a sheep? He doesn't call us sheep because we're so cuddly and cute. He says to us, you don't see so well. Scripture says it this way. You have eyes to see, but you don't see. He says to us, you're not so swift. You can't run so fast. You don't even walk that well on your own, to be honest with you. He says to us, you're not a great fighter. When sheep fight, have you ever seen them? They do this thing. If you fight on your own, it's not going to end well. Sometimes you even get your wool hung up in the briars. And you wander away from your pen from time to time. Jesus is leaving the 99 because there's always that one sheep that wanders away. Oh, wow, look at this pen. Plenty of food and water. It's safe here. There's a guard. I can rest. I can grow and be healthy. Wanders away. See you guys next month. The good shepherd uses his staff to guide us and his rod to protect us from the enemies. You prepare a table before me and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. He didn't just give you what you need. He gives until it overflows. He pours it onto your head. He fills your cup and then he keeps pouring, pouring it out and pouring it out. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll be poured into your lap. Your whole life, he's going to follow you with goodness and mercy. I know you're struggling. I've got some mercy for you. I know you're nervous about being used by the Holy Spirit, but I have some mercy for that too. I know you're struggling with addiction. I have mercy for that. I know this illness is wearing you down. Here's some mercy. I know your marriage is falling apart. Here's some mercy. Maybe you only see hardship and evil, but I'm following you with goodness. I have good things for you, and I'm working all things for your good. You just see Jesus following you around, raining goodness and mercy on you. All of your life, goodness and mercy are coming with you. Everywhere you go, goodness and mercy. When I eat by myself, I have to get a table for three because goodness and mercy are coming with me. Some of you need to upgrade your rent-a-car to make room for goodness and mercy to ride along. Give your life enough space for goodness and mercy to fit in because they're following you everywhere you go. Honey, you've got to take the time for Jesus to get into your life. Give him some room. Give him the time. Because he's following you with goodness and mercy. Stop for a second and receive it. And one day, when it's all said and done, I will dwell in your house. That house that he went to prepare for me. I'm going to live in the house of the Lord forever. I better get my perspective straightened out. I'd better get my priorities back in order because I'm headed towards the place that he has prepared for me. Oh, I know that I'm being afflicted, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. Why? Because I'm sitting at his table, headed for the house he's prepared for me. You see, this light, momentary affliction is preparing for me an eternal weight of glory. because I'm sitting at his table, headed for the house he's prepared for me. No, I'm not looking at those temporary things. I'm focused on the eternal things. I'm sitting at his table, the table he prepared for me. Don't you just love Psalm 23? It's beautiful. But there are some things that I would like to change. In fact, if I had written Psalm 23, I would have done some things differently. I think that I would have left out the part about the valley of the shadow of death. Don't we just talk ourselves into thinking that God is just going to lead us around all those valleys? And every time we end up in the valley again, we get surprised. What am I doing here? He said we're going through the valley together. Oh, I must have done something wrong. I'm in the valley again. There's the shadow again. What did I do? God, why did you fail me? Do you even know that I'm back in this valley again? And I want him to prepare a table for me in his presence. Can't I just sit in your presence all the time, Jesus? Why do we let the enemy gather around? Why does the table have to be there surrounded by the enemy? Jesus, maybe it's a better idea if you just go ahead and destroy him so that we can enjoy this table together. But that's not the way he planned it. That's not the way life works. We'll go through those valleys and the enemies will gather around. But look at this. Here is the table that Jesus prepared for us. This is the table. When the Jews heard this psalm, they understood something important about this table. When you prepare a table for someone, it is a very special, important act. Remember, they are out in the desert. They're out in the wilderness. You've been traveling so far, struggling for so long, and when you arrive, your host has prepared a table for you. Here is the cold, pure water so that you can be refreshed. Here's the food. It's ripe and juicy. The river of living water, the bread of life, the fruit of the Spirit. It's filling, it's satisfying. The table that he has prepared for you is filled with all the good things that he has to offer. And you don't sit there alone. He sits there with you. This table is a representation of his relationship with you. He sits at this table with you. And he gives you everything you need here at this table. Wow. Out there in the wilderness, I thought that I'd die of thirst, but this water is so refreshing. I wandered for so long and thought that I would starve. Out there in the world, there's nothing good to offer, but here at the table is every good thing. Jesus does not have a scarcity mentality. He has a generosity mentality. He can give and give and give. And Jesus prepared this table for you. It's a table for two, and this table is the most important thing in your life. This is your relationship with Jesus. It is the most important thing in your life. This table with Jesus is more important than your relationship with your spouse. This table with Jesus is more important than your children and your job and your church and all the other things. They fall in line somewhere behind Jesus. This table with Jesus is the most important thing in your life. But someone else wants a seat at this table, because this table has been prepared in the presence of my enemies. The enemy has to watch this relationship from the outside, but he is prowling around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for a seat at this table. This week, as I began to study this week, God spoke to me this message. And to be honest with you, I thought it was for me and not for you. So I came back the next day and began to study and pray for the message to you, because God spoke a word to me, and it took me an extra day of studying and praying to realize God speaks this word to you as well. Are you ready? Here is the word. Stop giving the enemy a seat at the table. Stop giving the enemy a seat at the table. How fast does Satan try to get to your table? He's subtle. He's crafty. He's so casual about it. Hey, man, this looks like a great meal. Wow, you don't mind if I have a seat, do you? And then in 2 seconds, the enemy is there sitting at your table. Why does Satan push himself into my table? Well, here's an example. If we got on a motorcycle together, you'd see that the faster we went, the more we'd feel the wind pushing against us. The faster you go, the more you'll feel the wind in your face. When you said yes to Jesus, Satan got interested. When you said, I want to fight this spiritual battle for my family and community, you picked up speed. And when we came together and we fasted and we prayed for our church to be able to wage war for the Midcoast, we entered into a fight against a real enemy. We are in the war for the Midcoast. You have decided to join the fight, and now over the past few weeks, you've been under attack. The more we push, the more Satan pushes back. The harder we fight, the more attention he sends our direction. You see, sometimes your frustration and struggling is actually evidence that you are pushing in the right direction. There is no following Jesus without feeling the heat of the battle. Because you're sitting at the table with Jesus, surrounded by your enemies. Pastor, how do I know if Satan has been sitting at my table? I'm glad you asked. You'll know because you'll hear something like this. Hey, I heard it's better at another table. Jesus teaches us that the thief, Satan, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. We're sitting at this table with Jesus. This table is the abundant life that Jesus offers. This table is love and hope and purpose. And any other table is for stealing, killing, and destroying. But Satan doesn't show up creepy with horns and a pointy tail and a pitchfork. He comes looking exactly like what you've been looking for. He's telling you what you want to be, what you want to hear. He came to this table to seduce you. He comes to say, leave your wife. There's a better looking woman over there. He says, leave that church because those guys down the street are so happy. Quit your job and go do something that makes you feel good. Oh, wow, look at that other table. At that table, they always laugh and they have a good time. At that table, you get to lead yourself. Do your own thing. And sometimes you think, maybe the struggle at this table is a sign that I need to try another table. And Jesus reminds us, any other table is death. Here's something else that you may hear, a sign that Satan may be sitting at your table. I'm not good enough. Now to you it may sound like, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not whatever enough. The enemy speaks to the vulnerable part of you. He speaks to the victimized me. He is talking to the bitter me, the wounded me. Because this victimized me doesn't want an answer. It just wants to be cuddled. I don't want you to fix my problems. I just want you to give me some attention. Some of us would rather be a victim than be free. And he tells you all the things you were. He tells you all the things you'll never be. He tells you all the ways that God failed you and all the ways that you failed God, and you'll never be enough. You'll never be good enough. And he piles lie upon lie. But the cross breaks those lies to pieces. You see, when you were still a sinner, Jesus died for you. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you realize that for Jesus, his seat at this table cost him his life? And he paid that price for you. He paid that price because he makes you good enough. He paid that price because he heals the wounds of the past. He gives you a seat at the table because he came to set the captive free. Here's the third lie that you might be hearing as a sign that Satan is sitting at your table. You might be hearing this, I'm not going to make it. It's amazing how we repeat these lies to ourselves. I'm not going to make it. It's not going to work out. I won't survive this. I don't know if I'll get through this. We repeat his lies to ourselves. It will never work. I'll never get there. I'm going to fail. He is the father of lies, and there's no truth in him. This is how the enemy steals from you. He convinces you that it's impossible to overcome, that it's impossible to have victory, that it's impossible to win, that it's impossible to survive the struggle. When Jesus instructed the disciples to get into the boat, he said, "We are going to the other side." Jesus knew the storm was coming, and he said, "Go to the other side." He knew it would get rough, and he said, "You will make it to the other side." He says to us, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." He says, "You're going to make it." Here's a fourth lie, the last one. A lie that you may be hearing if Satan is sitting at your table. Everybody's against you. I knew a guy that changed jobs a lot, and he said, "Man, I have to leave that place. Everybody hates me there." He refused to come back to church. "Man, nobody likes me at that place." He broke ties with his family, left. What is it? Three wives now. They all hate me. Sometimes you feel like that. Everywhere you go, people hate you. Everywhere you go, no one likes you. Everywhere you go, you're alone. You're isolated. Maybe you've heard those lies so much that you walk into every room and you're ready to fight. What you're saying is, "I built a wall 40 feet high and I dare you to come across and say hello." Your pain, your bitterness, your anger causes you to react to people that didn't push your buttons. You believe something that isn't true, and it makes you want to fight. "Everybody hates me. I'm just going to make sure I don't get hurt again." Bitterness can only be healed when you open up and clean out that old wound. I've heard it said like this. Maybe you've seen this or heard this before. If you don't heal what hurt you, you'll bleed on people that didn't cut you. If you don't heal what hurt you, you'll bleed on people that didn't cut you. You'll spend a life isolating yourself, convinced that everyone is out to get you. The truth is that they barely know you because you won't let anyone in. You have to let go of the pain and the bitterness. "I am not my feelings." Let people into your life. The enemy is lying to you. And here's why. The enemy attacks you because he fears God's purpose for you. Now, you can't stop him prowling around. That's what he does. But you can stop listening to him. You can have a conversation. You are having a conversation with a killer. Stop giving the enemy a seat at your table. And here's how. Peter is having this conversation in 1 Peter 5. Let's break it down. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, "Be alert, be sober, pay attention. A drunk person can't react to their circumstances. It's dangerous to drive if you're not sober because you can't react. You're not paying attention." Christian, wake up. Pay attention to your life. Pay attention to your walk with Christ. Peter continues that verse. "Pay attention because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Verse 9, he says, "Resist him, firm in your faith." In Ephesians 4:27, Paul instructs us, "Give the devil no place. Don't give him room at this table. Push back. Fight. Refuse to believe the lies. Stop giving him a seat at the table. And remember, the table that you're sitting at, this table is your relationship with Jesus. And sitting there with you is Jesus. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In 1 Peter 5, back to verse 10, we learn how we win this struggle. The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. In a few minutes, you're going to walk out those doors and find the devil waiting in the car. Some of you might even be hearing his lies right now, but you have to realize Jesus is still sitting at the table. Turn back to Jesus every time. Come back to him now. You'll lay down your head tonight, exhausted from a long day, and the lies will start rolling through your mind again. Jesus is still at this table. Go back to him. You'll wake up tomorrow, you'll look yourself in the mirror, and the lies will start again. Jesus will still be sitting at the table. Go to him. The doctor's going to give you some bad news, and the lies will start again. Go back to Jesus. He's still at the table. Reject the lies. Rebuke the liar. Listen to the voice of truth. Go back to the table and be restored again. Go back to the table. Be delivered again. Go back to the table and be refreshed again. Go back to the table that Jesus prepared for you.